I was making a speech, intended to be a teaching speech, to the Voices of Faith before we went live, and we are live right now, though I question who's shading upstairs because this camera is not right. And I was pointing out that I don't care how good your intentions and how good a person you are when you come here, you can't do it in the flesh. The devil will find a way if you're not spiritually prepared. But the problem is not mistakes. I'm a world's expert at forgiving people and forgetting what they've done. And I can correct something in a New York minute and not even have a problem with it. And even though that camera is not working, Doug, walk in front of that camera and get over here till you got a straight on. Are you on me? Doug, are you on me or is the other camera?
Yes, sir.
You're on me. Come back to me, Melissa, and let Doug move over to a better spot. Get over there. And I'm curious to know, because I make everything clear. Is anybody in this room that remembers a scene we had? I know you're all waiting to hear the reports from today. I'll give you that. And we're going to the table of the Lord later. But was anybody here when I lamented arriving here for a festival on Sunday night or a night some time ago, and there were no camera people? I see hands. Hold your hands up. Let me see. Okay, and I think I said and made it clear. I solved the problem in 3 minutes. That crew call was 6:30, and if they weren't sure and didn't know, that was a right now, and that I was at the place, which is one of the three first call numbers that they must call on a right now. And if they had called me at 6:30, or even 7, or 7:30, I could have handled the problem by telephone and not had the message knocked out of me. You're shaking so bad, Doug, you can't handle that. Go over there and set it on the table by Craig. Come back to camera one. We'll see if we can get this right. Doug, set it on the table there where Craig is. Oklahoma weakened you. You ain't strong enough to hold that camera. My granddad came from Oklahoma. He could hold this house up. If they'd called me and done what you could train a 10-year-old to do, that was the right now. They wouldn't have hit me when I stepped out of my car and ruined the opening of a festival. Isn't that what I said?
Yes, sir.
I sent Craig Lamp early tonight to get these people spiritually prepared, and they never said a word to him. And when I get out of the car, one person of the four or five says, "We don't have any cameramen for the mobile cameras. We don't have any minicam operators." And knocked totally out of me. Now that was bad enough because they've been clearly told in front of the world what to do, right? Now, there's no human explanation for this. These are not evil people. These are people that really, in their heart, want to be part of this ministry. They'll say, if I told them to tonight to work around the clock, they'd do it. Wouldn't even say a word. They will not recognize that obedience is better than sacrifice, and that there are laws in the spiritual world, as I've been telling you, that are as operational as the natural. They give way to the demon of fear. They give way to the demon of put-offness. The reason I control access to me is I learned a long time ago. I never put anything off. The minute I find out about it, I do it. That's why you've heard me say, if somebody claims they sent a message and they don't get a reaction on my staff within 24 hours, they can know I didn't get the message because I act instantly. I either tell you you're full of it, you've made a mountain out of a molehill, and do some more research, or I either tell you to shut up and come back in a week. But you're going to hear from me. I have to then control access because the devil knows that trait of me, and if everything is allowed to come to me all the time, then the day is trivialized away and the important things aren't done. What they did is the human weakness and the devil gaining the edge that I deal with all day long. That's not what tears me apart. All of them were to blame. And this is what you dealt with last night, Craig. But three or four of them stand there like Johnny Bench watching the ball game, while the guy closest to me that happened to open his mouth first gets all the blame. Not for me, but man, they're not going to. I should see four smitten foreheads. It'd be over in 30 seconds. We did it again. God help us. But it's entrenchment in self-preservation freeze. And like a missile locking in on me, it's poly. That's the stress that has brought me to the condition I'm in. Because I could have handled the problem. Not a problem. I asked if one of the airshift operators, one of the longest trained airshift operators, Leon, he has been here more, I think longer than any of the new people that are out there now. Well, he's here. Can't he use a minicam? Well, yes, sir, but he's never done it before. Okay, I flame out on that one. Because I ask you in here as voices of faith, have any of you ever heard me say, I want every person in that BTR room trained on how to run a camera?
Yes, sir.
You heard me say that?
Yes, sir.
It can be done. You run them. It can be done in much less than a day.
Yes, sir.
Much less than a day.
Yes, sir.
And here's a man who's been working in the VTR room well over a year. Once again, this is raw, disobedient put-offness, substituting of their priorities for a direct order. But that's not my problem. I deal with that all day long. It's the absolute, indrawn, fearful. You ever raised a kid that if you even raise your voice to him, he hunkers down and you know he's in another world. He's just waiting for the noise to stop. Any of you ever done that? One. Two. Those kind of kids become an argument for abortion. Ain't it fun to be on festival again? I, like God, towards, and what I'm telling you about his wrath toward ungodliness and unrighteousness, the Spirit of God in me cannot tolerate people that I know God called and has given a chance to be redeemed and marched to glory, committing suicide spiritually right in front of my eyes as they freeze. Instead of welcoming, oh, we did it, but God help us, we do see it. Pastor, you don't have to say another word. You don't have to finish the sentence. Where? And then they got these cue cards back here in their mind. You know, they've got a whole series of them. That if they use these broad brush, I'm a asteroid orifice, I bleeped up. There's about four or five speeches that immediately, no specifics involved, I just say, I am the worst, almost said it, the terrible thing in the world. How can I throw out enough that it'll stick on the wall and I won't have to really face up to the fact against God have I sinned? I'm a pastor. I'm not your enemy. The town's full of pastors that'll smile at you and would rather have you love them than save you any day of the week. That's what's killing me. This self-protective freeze. The sin has already been committed. I can't turn the clock back. The deed has been done. But it can be turned positive if there's instant repentance and instant awareness of what has happened. The devil got him and God help me. I'm picking it up and it won't happen again. And it will. But at least you can, next time, it's not going to happen again. Keep trying. But quit covering your asteroid. No, he doesn't know how to use a camera. I mean, when I asked that question, and I said, there isn't one of you in this room that hasn't heard the order that every person in that VTR room that is employed on staff is supposed to learn how to run the camera. And Big Brad laughed when I said it takes less than a day. I trained volunteers in one festival. It's the old guard demon. Well, that's what Doc said, but we have this other important stuff to do. And when I said, every one of you knows the order, all four of them should have been on their knees saying, we've done it again, God. Help us get it together quickly. But instead, here's the freeze. And the hope that the laser beam, which is me, hits one of them, and they can step aside and let one bleed for the four. That's cowardice! I'm sorry you have a pastor that teaches the place that men are supposed to have. I have no respect for people that aren't men. Even women. I hate cowards. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I see Buddy over there. He looks out for me. Doctrine. When I need emergency help in a hurry, he's frowning. I hope you're frowning for the sin and not worrying about me having a stroke. I ain't having one tonight. I may give one, but I ain't. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God is not the author of fear. So figure it out yourself. And I'm supposed to stand at the heart of this ministry and come to this seat and try to proclaim faith with a crew that is groveling cowards. And that's what they are. A woman had to be screaming at him last night. I refuse to be dragged down to the level of mediocrity. Christianity is not the summer afternoon in the park. It's a fight of faith. I can understand and sympathize with fear. I don't want to be around anybody that never knows fear. They're just plain idiots. But what time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. And it ain't trusting in the Lord to hunker down inside yourself and not turn your 2% into 100% of the blame and say, it's me, O Lord. And there's no excuse. I knew what to do. I didn't do it. And may God please forgive me. Then God's Holy Spirit might enter in and help. So I asked, did Doug know how to use a camera? Yeah, but he can't, not strong enough to hold one. You know how to use a handheld?
Yes, sir.
Big Brad, get over here on camera one. I can solve the problem if they just tell me before I get here. And I could even control my spirit and self and put up with their mistake and fear of waiting until I get here to drop on me when they could have and should have told me earlier, which is what I told them, if they'd face that when they're busted. Who else knows how to handle a handheld in here? You do. Take that one. Who's over there? You know how to handle a handheld camera?
No, sir.
One of these? No, sir?
I'll try.
No, I don't want you to try now. You know how to do it?
Yep.
Take that one up there. Now let them all in. Might have 4 or 5 more cameramen hiding out there in the hall. Well, I got on Bob so bad last night, he came late tonight so he wouldn't be in the firing line. I want to stay on you, Bob, until you learn to speak up and smile, maybe save your miserable soul. Bob's a great guy. He's one of the smartest guys. But you know, it's a rule of life. The more intelligent you are, the more you're able to stay out of trouble. So you don't develop the scar tissue to take the lickings you need to be your best. You're all here waiting to hear what happened today, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
I'm so mad now I forgot. So obviously I'm not going to die today. Don't let everybody else be so complacent. There ain't even enough chairs in here for everybody. Just find a seat. Scrouge, as they say in Missouri, scrouge up together and make room. We short seats? Well, haven't you got some in the other room? Well, it'll take more than 2 or 3 of you to get them. Go get your own seat. John knows how to run a camera. Get in here at 8 o'clock from now on, John.
Yes, sir.
In fact, before you leave home, call in time to see if you're needed as a cameraman. And get here sooner.
Yes, sir.
I want to tell you something else. When I come in here and sit down, look around that camera and let me see your face. I like to know who's hiding back there. Now, I'm going to say this. Again, every camera is live. It doesn't matter if I get out of this chair. The festival is not over until you see us go to another program. Last night, the handheld cameras just went down to the counter, and when I got out of the chair, you thought, the ones that were there thought their job was over. Mistake was made in the VTR room. They did not tell anybody that the video was going to run out before 10 o'clock, and we went to blue or black. And the director was helpless because if the cameras had been doing their job, she could have instantly punched the button for a camera on the map. And if I get out of this chair, there certainly shouldn't be 3 cameras focused on this empty chair. The others of you, the mobile, should be intelligent enough to get on a map or something, so the director has an option if she wants to go to you, whether the music or the video runs out or not. You are live until the festival's over. Clear?
Yes, sir.
And you are live all the time. Don't take the camera because you look at the monitor and see I'm on it and roll around to get a picture. We're not taking snapshots. You go as though the camera is going to be picked up as you turn around to take a new shot. You understand? You're live all the time. Well, you want to know what happened today? The doctors know more about my insides than anybody on this earth knows about my outsides. I've been looked at, photographed inside, outside, upside, and downside. Made to drink a quart of paste. I mean, I have never drunk anything quite like what I took. Been jabbed and poked. Rolled into some $5 million machine that looks like a guillotine spinning. Iodine or something like it pumped into my bloodstream until I thought I was having hot flashes all over my body. I mean, Johnny Carson once said he would like to be a woman for an hour so he'd know what it feels like. I went through menstrual crisis today. I mean, when they finished, asked one operator, was I pregnant? I went with perfect peace, still have it, perfect peace. God's in charge. They shot something else into my bones. I had to let that circulate for 2 hours while they did another kind of radiation scan. And I was sitting there saying, in Jesus' name, I sort of have the attitude that you can carry that on your shoulder. Will camera one not work at all? Let me see it again. They just need to do some work up there, whoever the camera person is that understands cameras. It's getting better, but it's not. Come on in closer, Big Brad, let me see what's going on. I mean, last night this camera was good. We had the operator. It's a shading upstairs. Somebody needs to work on it, or wherever the shading is in the VTR room. But stay with me, camera. Now that I've explained we've got a problem, I don't care what it looked like. Maybe people pray harder, look dead. Go on, go back to camera one. Look like a corpse propped up here. It's the only smoking corpse they've ever seen. And they put that through all your bones, and they can take pictures of that. But as it went, I would say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Radiation, I sort of relate to that light that raised up Christ from the dead. I was even joking with Craig Lamp and Melissa and saying, if they quit moving this sheet on me around, I might have an imprint. The Shroud of Glendale. And you want to know what happened? The answer is, I don't know. I get the results at 11 o'clock tomorrow. So that means I still have perfect peace. That means I'm meeting at 11 o'clock in the doctor's office. A battery of experts are analyzing the results. The results will be given to us tomorrow with the specialist and the radiologist. And I'll be able to look on the screen at the pictures. And we'll know tomorrow, beginning at 11 o'clock. The battery of experts that have analyzed it will also send copies to a selected key specialist at UCLA and one at City of Hope, so that three different hospitals will be involved in the analysis, and we'll know tomorrow. That means you've got to keep praying. It means that my staff has got to understand they got a responsibility like Aaron and her, and just maybe for a day or two, quit worrying about themselves and their ego, and quit turning every correction into a poly incident of locked in, self-preservation, face-saving, ass-covering, and all those other things that the devil makes you do. Jesus hung in open shame. In open, naked shame for your sins and mine. And he had done no wrong. And yet for his sake, we can't. I mean, I deal with people sometime and I use the analogy. Well, they admit, I burglarized the house. I killed your mother and raped your sister. But I'm not going to stand here and let you say I came in the back door. I came in the window. That fairness syndrome. I'm offended that you think I came through the back door. I did all those things, but you're not going to say I came. The point is, you're in the house. You did it. That tenacious scrambling to save face. I mean, this generation of Americans makes ancient China look like face-hating imbeciles. Oh, you thought you would get the words. Well, God is alive. His word is the same. I'm going to the table of the Lord in the next half hour. And nobody said this would be an easy, quick victory. It is an absolute victory to come. And we must continue to believe or faith to see. I wanted to see. You wanted to see. It'd be nice if something had come down and out of that machine of miracle and an angel had pulled negatives and developed them in front of everybody and told the doctors they were a bunch of idiots. Here is an enlargement. Picture taken by God. And the man is eternal. He has decreased his age, and this is a picture of a 20-year-old. I would like that. Yesterday, we have the devil on the run. We can keep him there. And faith will prevail. I have messages I am immeasurably grateful for from so many of you saying what the teaching has meant to you and pledging yourself in prayer and fasting and testimonials of healings of your own. Keep doing that. That's faith building. 5,000 orphans praying and fasting in India. Letters from Australia praying and fasting. I mean, this event is given an opportunity to put so many lumps on the devil's head. He's got to have a headache by tonight. Well, let's knock his head off. Come on. So get on the telephone and get ready to go to the table of the Lord. Now, don't anybody sit or be near a phone if it isn't ringing. Go find one that's ringing. I'm going to give you more time to get on the telephone. I want you to talk to me. I want to know that you're praying. We're going to win this battle. You should be able to see that God has enabled me to be a lot stronger and positive as the days have gone on and I've claimed God's promises. Now, come on. There are lots of battles of faith that are lost because people think it's won before it's won. It's like fighting fire. You've got to not only control it, then put it out, you've got to mop it up. I want us to mop up the devil, so get on the telephone. I'm told that there are some occasional red marks that are showing up on my face, and it's because they've been moving the cameras too fast. I think it's radiation from what I went through today. Doesn't matter what the results are tomorrow. If we fade, we will see the victory.
Yes, sir.
I'm at absolute peace, whatever. You know, a thorough and complete and total analysis of my innards in every respect, which hasn't been done in 71 years, I'm ready for anything to be revealed. Did any of you read the Time today, Time magazine, LA Times, about Johnny Cash? Well, you don't read the calendar section, that's obvious, or whatever it was. It was a headline with a picture of Johnny Cash. He's produced a new record, as has Merle, who was on David Letterman this week. And the new CD by Merle is If I Could Only Fly. And Teresa sent me a gift set and wrote some wonderful things on it. The song he sang first at King's One and then at my dad's funeral. Johnny Cash has a new one out. In 1997, Johnny Cash, in a concert in Flint, Michigan, bent over to pick up a guitar pick and fell on the stage. He was diagnosed with an incurable nerve disease. The article had Johnny Cash dragging out the three words with space between them. No more than a year to live. June Carter says, Johnny won't accept that diagnosis. Johnny Cash says, I don't accept that diagnosis. Now, Johnny Cash is a man of faith. I remember when he called and he was going to his retreat in Bahamas and asked for a full year of the messages up to that year. He and Loretta Lynn used to do that. They'd order a whole year of messages. And some of you will remember when Loretta Lynn used to, as long as we let her be anonymous and not make a big deal out of it, which I never do, used to park her bus when she's going through and her whole crew would come and serve as voices of faith. But Johnny ordered a whole year of messages, faith-building messages. He refused to accept the diagnosis. It was 97. I remember when Merle was here last, he told me we need to pray for Johnny. He's dying. All of a sudden he got well. And the doctors are saying it was misdiagnosed. I'm ready for that in my case too. I thought it was nice that that was in the paper today. So, doesn't matter what the report is that comes in, God's going to have the last word. And this will begin the miracle phase that Claire Grace prophesied. Believe it with me, and we'll see it. Get on the telephone. Did you notice the camera on the Voices of Faith? Doesn't it look nice when the room is full? And it's a testimony to Satan, faithlessness, and breach of covenant commitments many have made when there's a festival here and this room is not full of Voices of Faith. So little counts for so much in this ministry. Now, we are going to the table of the Lord in a minute, but I can tell you this. The biopsy and the results last Wednesday and the brutal interpretation was that malignant cancer on both sides of the prostate, fast moving, and the chances it had not spread. I think the word is metastasis.
Metastasize.
Well, that's the verb. The noun, what's the noun? That's what I said, metastasis. When it spreads into the bones, into the kidneys, into other parts of the body, terrible if it gets into the soft tissue, liver. So all of the tests today will determine not only if cancer's there, but we know that from the biopsy. If it's not there, it's not misdiagnosis, it's miracle. But equally important is that it was misdiagnosed as having spread, or high probability of having spread. The test today will determine, and the word is, if it's contained. And if it's contained to just the prostate gland, it's not life-threatening if you act speedily and take it out. And the cancer cells go with it, but you might miss one. There are multiple treatments in addition to surgery, and there are multiple things you can do because the immune system of the body has lost the war temporarily. And there's mountains. I mean, the radiologist today asked Melissa if she was a nurse, because of her probing questions, because I would guess in the past week she's essentially memorized every book that can be found and bought and written on the subject, including about everything on the internet that'll be coming in tomorrow. There are many options. Faith is the ultimate option. But it's a miracle. It was a miracle, in my judgment, that the PSA had dropped 3 points in just a few days that I announced on Sunday. It's a miracle if we find nothing else that was in the body that we didn't know about, because the biopsy was the prostate gland. It's a miracle if the results of today's tests indicate it's contained. Then you don't have to pray for my whole body. You just pray for that one little gland. I mean, I ought to be jumping around with that much prayer unleashed of God. Turning his power loose. And you're evil. But the specificity and the realization and the miracle, if that, and we don't know that, if it's not. I said to the radiologist today, okay, what you find, whatever you find, I'm going to whip it. I wasn't going to tell him how we would whip it. It's just easy for God to do a big miracle, a little miracle. It's just easy for God to dissolve the cancer cells all over the body as in one place. But it is a miracle if it's contained based upon the diagnosis. Now, I'll be rejoicing in that, and I'll say, okay, you got us to first base, God, now let's go on around and all the way home. I'm not wanting you to pray just for a partial healing, but I'm not wanting you to be discouraged if we get a partial healing. That should increase the faith that God can finish the job. I am convinced of what I said Sunday. This is a miracle preceded by the experience I, as your pastor, must go through. I can't preach this kind of faith to you if I don't endure it. That's what this is all about. And having said that, take your seats and let's go to the table of the Lord. I told you last night in the previous communion, we had read the communion previous Isaiah 53 from just the 53rd chapter of the King James. Last night I pointed out most people grow up in the traditions of the church, and if they have been properly taught, they're made to see that communion, we still having to hand out the communion elements, or has everybody got them? Who doesn't? Let me see your hand. Then get over there and get it. Go through the front here. Don't take the long way around. Just go along the way fast and get over there and get them. I saw three hands. Why aren't you all moving? Get up and go get them. Don't wait for somebody to bring it to you. Go get your own. Anybody else? You're fixing your hair or you don't have communion? Anybody else? But you're at home. That it? All right, let's settle down. If you've been taught properly, the atonement chapter, Isaiah 53, and I think it's significant, we're right in the calendar period yesterday into the Day of Atonement. And if you're taught properly, healing is in the atonement as well as redemption and payment for sins. Not only are sins laid on him, but our sicknesses. But if you've been taught traditionally and use only the King James, about the only phrase in Isaiah 53 that speaks of healing is the fifth verse. With his stripes we are healed. But it sort of looks like an add-on because preceding that, describing Christ's condition, he's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. And sort of add on, with his stripes we are healed. Which has given people room to say, well, that's following all these other emotional and spiritual and smitten for sin as a sin bearer. And maybe that's just a spiritual meaning. Last night I showed you, reading from many different scholars, that the King James is not translating properly. And in case you didn't get it last night, let me quickly do it tonight without giving all the reading that I did last night. When it says he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, the word is pain, not sorrows. Same word in the fourth verse, surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. They're being consistent in the King James, using the same word, but it's not sorrows. It's pain. Nagi is the root in Hebrew. Pain. And pain from sickness. So scratch out sorrows and write pain. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of pain, and acquainted with grief. Let me deal with acquainted with. Doesn't mean that he was carrying that all the time. It means he was put in a state to be made acquainted with it, not previously having been acquainted with it. Well, he was acquainted with grief. before he ever went to the cross. He sat on the hill above Jerusalem and said, how often would I have gathered you? Shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. The word is not grief. And when it says in the fourth verse, surely he hath borne our griefs, again, they're consistent in English and consistently wrong. The word is not griefs or grief. It's disease. Hali. Disease. It is sometimes used as synonymous with leprosy. Indeed, one of the Jewish branches who believed in the Messiah yet to come, because of these verses, believed that Messiah would be a leper. They at least understood it was a terrible disease. But it's more general than leper. Leprosy was the worst kind of disease in those days, synonymous with sin, and thus diseased was a leper, incurable in their view. But the word generically and generally is the root for the word disease or sickness. So scratch out griefs in both the third and fourth verse and write in disease and diseases. Now read it that way. He is despised and rejected of men. And I read from scholars of note last night. Sorry, the Hebrew is clear. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of pains, and acquainted with disease, made to have an acquaintance with it. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Those hearing the prophecy, not really understanding what Messiah would do, they looked on this as a mortal man, and thus he must be judged of God, and they esteemed him not. Then they catch themselves in confession, and under the inspiration of prophecy, they say, surely he hath borne our diseases. He's not despised and rejected because he sinned. He's in that condition and made to be acquainted with it, because surely he hath borne, not our griefs, borne our diseases and carried our pains. Then again, flashing back to a wrong judgment about him, but clearly saying what the condition is that's being analyzed as prophecy is looking ahead to see what happened to Jesus on the cross. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Let's look at this word stricken. Its primary meaning is to touch, some kind of physical contact. An angel, same word used when it says earlier in Isaiah, an angel touched Isaiah's lips in the 7th verse, 6th chapter. When the angel appeared and Daniel fell on his face, the angel touched, same word, touched, same word translated stricken here, touched Daniel, brought him to his feet. Daniel 8:18. Angel touched Jacob when they wrestled, same word, gave him a limp ever after. In Genesis 32. And in 1 Kings 15. The Lord smote the king for his certain evil deeds, so that he was a leper unto the day of his death. They esteemed for the wrong reason, thinking he must be a terrible sinner. They'll go on and say, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was touched by God. The Lord laid on him our sins. But this word stricken touches him, and then smitten of God carries it further. smitten by disease. It's a different word. And afflicted. Meraz, the word bowed down by God, afflicted with suffering. That's the meaning of that word. God touched him on Calvary and touched him, smitten and stricken with disease. Surely he hath borne our griefs. No. Surely he hath borne our diseases, carried our pains. We were wrong. We esteemed him stricken or touched by God that way, smitten with disease and afflicted, bowed down in suffering because of God's literal physical touch of him. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Now, with his stripes we are healed, has as broad a basis in the prelude as the overload of sins only in the English King James translation. You follow what I'm saying? There is no question that the touch of God put our sins on him. The touch of God put our sicknesses, our diseases, our pains on him. Both were there. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement of our peace was upon him. Bore our diseases and our pains. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. In Matthew 8, a series of healings occur. A leper, the mother of Peter with fever, a host of sick people, the daughter, or the servant rather, of a centurion, raised by his word, faith commended, and having recorded these physical healings, Matthew says he did these physical healings that it might be fulfilled what Isaiah the prophet said. He bore our sicknesses and our pains. And Matthew quotes from a Septuagint that's not the modern version, as I told you in the Roman series on that Sunday. They had access to a better Septuagint than the one we have, closer to the original Hebrew that was being translated in that Septuagint they had. No question, Matthew's talking about physical diseases and says that fulfills Isaiah's prophecy. Well, how did he do that before he got to Calvary? Jesus knew what he was going to do on Calvary. He just drew in advance the credit from the bank, full value of which would be accomplished in the atoning work that fulfills Isaiah 53. No question, but what physical healing is what Isaiah is pointing to in the atoning work. No question but what healing is in the atonement, right there, equal in force, touched onto him by the hand of God, in the same way, in the same weight, for the same cause, with the same benefit as our sins being laid on him. That's why there are two elements at this table. The blood, which represents the shed blood of Christ. The life of the soul is in the blood. The value of the life, sufficient to stand in for all of us. And the Lord laid on him the sins of all of us, unworthy creatures though we may be. We're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb as we discern what was accomplished at Calvary. And faith reaches and grabs it and we take this emblem, the wine, into our body, we appropriate in faith the covering of the atonement. He carried our sins away from us. He bore them in his body, and we're set free, standing before God as though we had never sinned, standing before God as we continue in faith as though all our future sins are not in existence because they were laid on him. When you take this cup like that, you stand in his presence, made worthy by what he did, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Take it in thanksgiving together with me in Jesus' name. If healing of our diseases is there, that's why we have two elements. If sin's the only thing, all you need is the blood shed. But as I've shown you, Isaiah 53, translating the words that were there uttered by the prophet, he bore our sicknesses, diseases, pains. Though their first glance was to think he deserved it and he must be evil, the description is still right on. He was smitten and stricken. They, in error, esteemed it an act of punishment by God for him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. With his stripes, we are healed. He bore the sicknesses. He claimed and suffered them and took them upon himself and carried them away, that with his stripes, we were healed. I'm absolutely convinced whatever sickness is in my body, he bore it. And for God, when faith sees the element properly and discerns that his body suffered this sickness for me, it was laid on him, and with his stripes, I can step out from underneath it, set free by the grace of God, because he bore my sickness, and I thus, by faith, am free. Take the bread if you're sick, claim that promise, and say with me, with his stripes, I am and was healed. Time to get on the phone. One of the elements of putting on the whole armor of God, enabling us to fight against the wiles of the devil and to stand, is prayer, all kinds of prayer, for all the saints, that's praying for one another. And Paul says, last of all, that old tiger, pray for me. Above all, the shield of faith. But one of the weapons of our warfare and part of the shield of faith, that's why I opened an hour and a half ago and put my finger on the root of the problem last night after festival. The mistake that was made could have been handled in 30 seconds if every person had instantly taken the guilt and recognized that they weren't operating up to par, and it's basic. In law, we call it hornbook. It's 2 and 2 makes 4 simplicity. You do nothing back there that has a time on it. You do nothing that doesn't have a time, and you do nothing, therefore, that has a time, and that's everything, without letting the director know when it's going to end. That's a letdown in performance. But mistakes will be made. And the letdown passed on to cameramen who vacated their shift before the shift was over. They didn't leave their camera, they just didn't keep it live and on something. But it had been over in 30 seconds if everyone had seen it instantly as a sin against God. And it would have been nice if they had turned to one another and said, let's pray for one another that we don't do this again. That thought of God never seems to come first. The first reaction is an animal reaction. It's like a dog that's been kicked. They weren't even kicked. You have to learn to keep God in focus. That's what God awareness is, the lack of which is a Sabian ungodliness. You can't have God awareness and having forfeited a responsibility, let down on a trusteeship from Him, and then you're mouthing ass covering excuses. Or as if God doesn't see the heart and see the concern over your pain of, I get tired of hearing this. I hate to let you down while they pound me down with their martyrdom of I hate to let you down. The deed is done. Repent to God. But I put my finger on the heart of it. I had a crew yesterday that at 6:30 at crew call did not even apparently think about agreeing together to pray for me. When I call the whole world to prayer. And there's some people praying alone that wish they had somebody to pray with. That's why these voices of faith are here. You can make the connection of two. But I'm leading up to saying, I know that law of the Spirit, that the chances of me getting healed, I learned this from my dad years ago. Find somebody sick and go pray for them. Praying for someone else, because when one member of the body suffers, they all suffer, if you really have the mind of Christ. I really believe that the burst of miracles I've expected to come can be ignited as you unite to pray for me, that many of you that have sicknesses I only know about and the rest of the saints don't know about. By your prayer and renewed faith and focus on what God has provided us, in the removal of the arrow of sickness and His training and the tribulation that He allows in the world here. I said last night, one of the arrows out of His quiver is using sickness, because that was put on Christ. That becomes a thing between the Father and the Son, and the worth of the Son and the completeness of what He did and the promises made thereto to each other. Sickness does not belong on the faithing saint who goes to the table of the Lord and appropriates the broken bread. And as you rally to pray for the pastor that's become the target of Satan's attack, and I refuse. I don't even like the word cancer. Those twisted, evil-looking, wormy-looking, undifferentiated, gluttonous, self-perpetuating, self-serving cells gone mad, creating a war within this temple of the Holy Spirit, that's straight from Satan. I put in the same category of leprosy. Synonymous with Satan's vomit. It went on him. And we can step out from underneath it. And as you rally and focus in prayer, I really believe miracles all through this network will happen. It's already happening. Since He started to preach on sickness, I've had a healing from drug addiction. I'm 54 years old. I started snorting. It's gone after 5 years. I've had no withdrawals, no back pains. I know that God will heal Doc in Jesus' name. Louisville. 10 years ago, I got bitten by a tick and contracted Lyme disease, and it spread to the brain, liver, kidney, heart. I laid in bed for a year, and it got worse and worse. Doctors all around the country examined me, and my prognosis was death. I took the Lord's Supper with Doc several times, and one day I got up out of bed and began getting better and better every day, and I was there 4th of July at the cathedral alive and well. This is a pretty long one. Sagal, Idaho. We have a trucking company in North Idaho. In the summer of 99, I was piloting for our company. I thought that I was tired because of that, but my husband recommended I see the doctor. He thought I was too tired. On June 28, 1999, I had a blood test, and 2 days later the results came back that I was highly anemic. I was almost too tired to come back to see the doctor. They were afraid I'd suffer a heart attack. I'm a 45-year-old woman and had been in relatively good health my whole life. I was immediately taken to the hospital and given 3 units of blood. What they found was that I'd been depleted due to severe bleeding during my monthly periods. Then they performed a DNC test along with more blood and sent me home. My bleeding continued. So my doctor decided on hysterectomy on July 27th. I went in for it, and on August 3rd when I went in to have the stitches removed. My doctor told me I had stage 3 uterine cancer. This cancer had not shown on any of the tests. Another appointment was made to do a biopsy. I've been watching Dr. Scott for about 10 years. I understand that he's talking about what he is talking about regarding the terror of this disease. I know God can heal you because he did me. Along with many members of my family, we're taking communion together daily after the diagnosis of cancer. On August 16th, I had the biopsy, and on the 19th, I was sent home without a cancer cell in my body. I had no radiation or chemotherapy, and yet I'm fully healed. The only scars are the surgical hernias from when they opened me up for the biopsies, and that will be operated on in a few days. All prayers are appreciated, and give it, all of you, to this lady in Sagal, Idaho, King's Dish. Number 8385. Miracles are happening. Yellville, Arkansas. That's something to yell about. On 7/18/2000, I was rushed to the hospital with viral pneumonia. I was unconscious. When I got to the hospital, I stopped breathing. I then had a heart attack. I can vaguely remember becoming conscious. I had only enough strength to whisper Jehovah Rophi. The next morning, 7/19, they gave me an angiogram. I had 100% blockage. My heart grown its own artery and bypassed on its own. No open heart surgery. That's the biggest miracle of my life. I attribute this taking communion every day with Doc. I thank you for making this a 24-hour ministry and for communion. Without the teaching, I would be dead. I agree with Doc and Melissa. This disease has been uprooted and Doc is healed in Jesus' name. I like this one. Lancaster, California. I was at festival last night. I remember 5 years ago, Doc was going through a deep personal valley. During that time, he introduced us to G. Campbell Morgan. In 1996, when Pastor came out of the valley, he said he had one regret. He regretted not singing louder in the valley. Pastor, strike up the band. We're going to sing from one end of this valley to the other. Hang in there, we made it through 2001. I like these messages. Get on the phone. You know, I met Carl Wayna first as a bearded agnostic in a stamp store out in the valley. I was a curiosity to him. He was a partially trained as a Jesuit and had become more atheistic than agnostic. He slowly began to listen to the truth, and his agnosticism drained away and the resurrection became reality. Here's Carl Wayne calling in. It's interesting. I've been going to the same internist for years. My blood pressure has always been high, 180 plus. I took communion at King's House 2 with Doc last night. This was Wednesday. This was after the Wednesday that I announced the brutal news. I took communion at King's House 2 with Doc last night, and I went to my doctor today, and my blood pressure is down to 140. Thanks be to God. Well, for Carl, that's wonderful. A few weeks ago, God healed me of sugar diabetes that I didn't know I had. My sugar was 1,300. Today, I don't take insulin or pills. I'm healed. What's going on, folks? I'm telling you, all over the world, as we pray one for another. Give me some more reports. Get on the phone. I'm going to take a little time, not much, so you can stay standing up. I told you this word, Merapi, means to heal. Semitic knows the root. I'm reading from Theological Lexicon of the Old Testament. Meaning to mend, repair, patch, sew up. The meaning to heal found in Phoenician, Punic, Aramaic, probably derives from it, and refers in accord with the development of healing practices to measures taken to care for a wound. The root does not occur in Akkadian beyond Riputu, healing, and is a Canaanite word common for physician. Also a Sumerian loan word common for physician. The verb occurs in the Old Testament in the call. Now, call and PL and Hifl and Hit PL in the Hebrew are verb stems that in essence take the place of tenses that let you know whether it's active, passive, forcefully active, reflexive, etc. In these verb forms, nikal, rope, physician, nifl, the passive, and pl, and hit pl, to get healed. Ripua, healing, riput, healing, a derivative marpe, healing, and is in the name of the angel Raphael, by the way. I just wanted to point out the word is healing that goes on when it says, with his stripes we are healed of physical sicknesses. Not the word is always related to physical sicknesses, not some spiritual healing. Spiritual healing goes on when we're restored and the door is open to communication with God and standing before him on the blood of the Lamb. With his stripes, he becomes our physician and we get healing because he bore our sicknesses and our pains. You're on telephone.